3-4-5.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the daily version of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. We're going to talk economics on this show, but we're also going to talk an awful lot about social issues. And the reason I'm doing that is I have long maintained, and virtually everyone agrees with me, that finance and investing is very, very dependent on politics and social issues. And we've got some social issues in the United States going on right now that, quite frankly, are bothering me an awful lot. Rather than be very, very dramatic and talk about things like corruption, etc., let me just say that in my humble opinion, there are things going on that should not be going on the part of the government. My main concern, and we're going to talk about this in a few of the segments, has to do with the entitlement system in the United States and the entitlement mentality. You know, I'm on record as strongly endorsing Ron Paul, and Congressman Paul has some very, very interesting feelings about entitlements, i.e., simplistically speaking, people should take care of themselves. I would maintain that that is 100% accurate, with a few comments. But I would also say that the way that our government is now structured, the way that folks get elected, has an awful lot to do with giving entitlements to people, or what you might want to call more accurately, simply buying votes. Got Peter Granditch on the line with me. Pete, you think I'm nuts?
No, you absolutely echo my feelings. And in fact, I had a pretty, not say heated, but active discussion with a good friend of mine who calls himself a clear left-wing liberal today, mm-hmm. and we're good friends, and we just see the political spectrum completely different, and that was evident today in our discussion. And I said I'm not against anything at all, entitlement. I'm be the first person to give somebody a helping hand, but a helping hand and a sustaining hand forever is two different things. And part of the problems with entitlements are and programs that have been put into place, and there's been how many programs have put in for poverty and all is, they really don't give an incentive for the person or groups to move past their situation, and therefore it becomes more of a crutch. It just keeps like giving a drug addict more drugs, but it keeps them quiet. First of all, I think the whole structure of programs that have been implemented by governments here in the U.S. for several decades now have meant well, but have been structured in the wrong way. The other part of entitlements, which is going to be the really the ball, the straw that breaks the camel's back, let me say, is the absolute necessity, but almost impossibility, difficulty of achieving, of restructuring entitlements such as Medicare and Social Security. I mean, think about this, Al. The biggest single collectors of that are people 65 and over, mm-hmm. and that is where 80% of the wealth currently exists in America. It's the single largest voting block, and I find it very hard, maybe because now I live in a community where most of the people are 65 and over, not me, but they are. They're not about to say, you know what, for the good of America, cut my Social Security in half and take a good portion of my Medicare away just so it could be fair and balanced for everybody. They're just not. This impossibility of continuing funding programs that are, in a sense, out of control and overspent and can't be brought in line unless we dramatically cut benefits is going to be a political process that I just can't see ever gaining ground, no matter who or what party's in charge. And it's just, I think, the straw that will eventually break the back of America.
I have to say, I believe I disagree with your thoughts regarding Social Security. You know, I kind of view Social Security in the following way, and that is, ever since I started working when I was a teenager, you know, I paid money into the system, and I think it's only fair that I should at least get out what I put into it, you know, along with some interest, because that truly is the American way. When I talk about entitlements and buying votes, though, I have to say, say that I'm thinking more along the lines, for example, of what happened in Detroit back in the 60s. You know, there were major, major riots in Detroit back in the 60s that a lot of people attribute to the concept of entitlement, something for nothing. You know, people saw they could get something for nothing, and that ended up being very, very dysfunctional for Detroit. You know, and as a result of what happened in the riots and some of the other things in Detroit, you basically had a very, very prosperous city turn into a city that really isn't so prosperous anymore. I think that entitlements, by their very nature, they make a very large portion of the American people dependent on the government as opposed to being dependent on themselves and their families and their neighbors. They're dependent on the government. And, of course, they're going to vote for those people who support those programs because they don't want to lose them. I think that's the biggest, you know, quite frankly, the biggest challenge that Congressman Ron Paul faces is the fact that he feels the same way that I think you and I do.
Well, I put up something on the blog this week, was a video from a private group called Government Out of Control, and what it basically argued that it showed how many more government employees are, how much more they're getting paid than in the private sector, et cetera. But it made a very good point. It said 16% of the voting public are government workers.
Yeah.
And if you take into a fact that most of them are married or have somebody important to them that would want to see them continue in their work, add that to make that 32%, and that the growth of government is getting so big that eventually more people will be working for or directly impacted by the government as an employee, that we're going to get to the point of no return, because then you're not going to see any of those people vote to shrink government because it would mean their jobs. So one of the, I think the thing that's been getting away from people that isn't talked about in the entitlement program all is how big government and government employees have come relative to the private sector.
Yeah.
And that is something we saw here in New Jersey, and it was fortunate that, like him or not, the governor was able to at least change the direction of an out-of-control system to where we were literally going to go bankrupt as a state because we couldn't afford the pensions and entitlement programs that government employees were earning. I'll give you an example. We had some judges who never made more than $140,000 in pay, were able to get pensions for $250,000, quit, and then get their pension and start another job somewhere. I mean,
yeah.
it's insanity. And then that, unfortunately, is not an isolated incident. And that's where we're government. I think government is out of control in a lot of ways, and one of the ways is it's just grown too big.
Unfortunately, you and I and virtually all of the listeners to this particular program are a minority in this country, a rather significant minority in this country. I'm not really sure what the solution is. Are we going to turn into a totally socialistic society where people become very, very dependent on the government? I think that's a good possibility. And, Pete, I tell you, I hate to say that.
Well, I'll tell you this much, and whether it's just because of him or the fact that he's the current leader, but the last 4 years of the current administration has probably helped more move towards socialism-type government and society here in America than any presidential group beforehand. If one concurs with that, that might be what the argument will be in an election for someone other than that. But the difficulty with that, and that's what shocked some people who just thought 6 months ago that Obama was unelectable, is the fact that we can't seem to get a person to run against them, at least electable. I know you and I both, we're singing to the choir, we both like Ron, but if it is a Romney and all, I don't know how much better Romney will be. Is it better, at least worse? Maybe that's the way to look at it. But there isn't a person out there yet that seems that can be run for president that can really be different than the current guy, and I'm afraid the current guy could still get back in, and I just don't know what it would be like from all the issues we discussed.
Well, you know, Pete, the interesting thing is, and what I really thank God for every single day, is we live in a country where we can express that particular opinion, and that, my friends, is what makes our country great. Stick around. The gal's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Did you ever think you'd be where you are, a decade into the 21st century? Record foreclosure rates for homes, if not yours, your neighbors. Thankful for the unemployment check since you were laid off. And placing your child's name on the angel tree in hopes of a Christmas gift, along with thousands of other Americans. Did you ever think your future would feel this out of control? The fact is, in all this craziness, there's only one thing you can control. Your greatest dependency, your food supply. Make 2012 the year you take control by getting prepared. eFoods Direct introduces the best way to build your food supply in the 21st century. Get a 21-day supply of food free with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Take back control in 2012. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Good to have Peter back on the show with us. Mr. Grandich is a very, very interesting guy. You know, we're getting more and more and more and more comments from listeners on our comment section, and I really encourage all of you to please take part in that. We are really learning something from each other, I have to say. You know, and one of our listeners who I actually had lunch with yesterday is a fellow by the name of John Robertson, and John is very, very well informed in terms of everything that we talk about on this show, whether it's social issues or economic issues. And I wanted to get John to weigh in a little bit on the question of the entitlement mentality in the United States. And the reason I wanted to do that is, as you're aware, Paul and I did an editorial on this yesterday, a daily editorial, and we got some very, very interesting comments from you folks. Let's hear what one of the listeners has to say, and that would be Mr. Robertson. John, is it a good thing or a bad thing in your opinion?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm sure there's a lot of people who wish they were in my shoes.
They didn't give me a great bottle of cab.
Oh, well, there you go, folks. That's all it takes.
Anyhow, what do you think about all of this?
You know something, the problem with entitlements is where do you say no? And, you know, I think many people understand you've got to do something for some people. I actually have a friend, I have a few friends in a couple of different places. They're disabled or they have some kind of an issue that really makes it hard for them to work, and I've seen this with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
People cannot always get out and work 40 hours a week. But, you know, I've also, just using an example of somebody I once knew where I went to college, somebody boasted how they were on unemployment insurance while going to school full-time. I mean, that's a no-no. They shouldn't have been doing that. I actually even knew one of my old doctors going back many years, she was relating to me some stories. She had a patient, and this is here in Vancouver where I'm currently staying. And this patient came in every week just to make sure they were not sick. So it was something that they were doing just regularly, I think almost to get out and say hi.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't ask the taxpayers to keep paying for things like that because, you know, especially when there's really nobody watching, you don't really want to have a doctor, police officer making sure people need to be there when they're really sick or not. That would be terrible. But if people aren't going to go and take a certain amount of responsibility for their own actions, it really does raise the cost for everybody else in society. I mean,
well, you know, John, one thing that Paul brought out yesterday in the editorial is that he feels that the entitlement mentality, and I, by the way, agree with this 100%, is a huge, huge disincentive for people accepting responsibility. Now, the interesting question, as you know, as one of the listeners brought up yesterday in our comments section, is exactly something that you just said. Where do you draw the line? How do you take care of, for example, military veterans, you know, who are, well, not even veterans, active military guys and gals who have, you know, gotten blown to bits over in, say, the Middle East. Now, I would maintain that would not be an entitlement issue. That would be a military issue, I would have to say. But in terms of general entitlements, where do you draw the line, man, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, first of all, just to follow up on your issue, your military veterans, you give them what they need. I mean,
yeah,
there's just nothing more to that. You know, I know Peter Grandich has a cause, you know, with these guys in 9/11 first responders who are not treated entirely fair. You know I've
right.
seen my own specials. I mean, you help those people out. I really don't see any need to condition it, to be honest with you. It's a finite number of people who are involved anyways, and they have, in many cases, given a lot more than most of us
yeah.
would or even should have to. As for the average person, you know, some of my Canadian cohorts are not going to like me saying this. The one thing they do in the U.S. that, unfortunately, I think may have to happen one day is you have what's called a copay. When you go to a doctor's office, just pay a small amount, not very much. It might be even $5 or $10 when you go see a doctor. I really love the way it works in Canada or Australia where you right now you just walk in.
Yeah.
But if you just give somebody a gentle reminder, hey, listen, you know, this is costing the system something. Maybe if somebody has an income below X number of dollars a year, okay, fine, waive the copay. But you need to remind people when they're using the system that costs money. And, you know, there's many other ways of using mean testing, but then that becomes expensive. Now you have to have forms and policies and people reviewing things. I don't think you want to go there. You just want to find a simple way of every time somebody uses a service, just to remind them gently, this is costing you money. And unfortunately, what happens is if you don't do things like this, and maybe there's other ideas too. You know, I'm not saying I'm 100% behind any one idea I might throw out there, but you know, I know you've said in the past, Al, how in the Johnson administration, things started changing quite a bit in the United States. That's about when it started changing in Canada. We had Pierre Trudeau's, the Prime Minister here in Canada, and people started getting used to having that kind of almost, you know, endless amounts of support. And when that happens, good luck in trying to I don't want to say claw it back, but just to balance costs, because you could spend your whole GDP on, you know, medical if you wanted to.
Yeah.
There has to be a point. So the key, I think, is not letting it get too far out of hand. And that, of course, is the big issue right now today with Obamacare. I'm still not 100% sure if I understand what it is. I know what Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. So I have a general idea, I guess. But, you know, be careful, because once it gets too entrenched, you're not going to be able to reverse it if you need to.
Well, you know, and that's a really good point. And I like your concept. And this is, in essence, the same thing that Paul said, only Paul took it to perhaps a little bit more of a greater degree. But, you know, there something has to be given back in order from the people who are receiving the entitlements, you know. And I there are a million ways to solve this problem. And I am very – or address that issue, I guess I should say. And I am very, very disappointed that our government has not come up with a way to address this issue. Now, you know, a lot of people would say, well, they're not doing that because, in effect – there are so many people receiving entitlements today. And by the way, in deference to a lot of our listeners, I do not consider either Social Security or medical care that I have prepaid, for lack of better terms, for my entire career. I don't consider those to be entitlements by any stretch of the imagination. Not even close, but
no.
I think there has to be some way that people who are getting something for nothing really, really need to pay back in somehow for what they're getting. Because for one thing, well, I mean, because that's just simply the morally right thing to do. John, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on the show. I want to stress to listeners out there that John's comments are really, really interesting. And his comments are really a good example of what the philosophy of our comments section is all about. The philosophy of the comments section is purely and simply, we all learn from each other. None of us are the prettiest baby in the nursery. None of us are the smartest people in the world. But, you know, by coming together, by working together, which is now the theme of our website, we're going to get something accomplished. You know, we're not complaining. We're not advocating anything. We don't have any major cause here other than let's make things better for everybody in North America. John, thank you so much, buddy.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Got my buddy Mickey Folk on the line. He is known as the Mercenary Geologist. He's got a great website. If you want to find out more about his website and what he writes, et cetera, all you have to do is click on his banner and his picture on our homepage. Mick, I want to talk to you a little bit about energy today. You know, I'm looking at futures prices right now, and West Texas, for example, is 101.14. That's down 67 cents. Brent is 112.45. That's up 35 cents. I personally am very, very optimistic on energy issues. In the past year, I have invested in three companies, somewhat substantially, I have to say, because I'm a real believer that energy is one of the critical, I mean, anybody who doesn't believe this is nuts. Energy is an absolutely critical input to society. Let's talk about oil first. Let's get your views on that, okay?
Well, you're absolutely right, Al. Energy is the biggest input we have in the world economy, and it has been that way since the Industrial Revolution. And it's really what drove the Industrial Revolution was oil and the internal combustion engine and electricity. The oil market's basically controlled by two main factors, and that's supply-demand fundamentals, and that has been in balance for most of the last year, and I would expect it to continue. And then the geopolitical situation drives oil, and we see strong oil prices with WTI at 100 and Brent crude trading at a significant premium, and I think that's because of problems in Europe, and then we have this U.S.-driven oil boom. We're down now to 49% of our oil use is imports, and that's 20% down in the last 5 years. So we've got this little mini boom going with shale oil and horizontal wells. So I'm very bullish on the oil business, especially in North America.
You know, I have discussed energy with other folks in the past, and Grant Williams, for example, out of Singapore, thinks that he's very bullish on oil also, and he feels that natural gas is going to tag along. Natural gas futures are up a little bit today. They're up about $0.06, $3.06 on the futures. What do you think about natural gas?
Well, I'm going to have a completely different take on natural gas. I think it's a completely different story. Especially in North America. We've found too much gas, once again with exploiting shale reservoirs, which we used to only look at as source rocks, but now they're reservoir rocks with horizontal drilling and hydrofrack technology. We've found too much gas in North America, especially in the United States. We don't have the transportation, the storage, nor the processing capability to deal with it where the gas fields are. And I do not see a short, even perhaps a midterm solution to that. Gas hit a high of 492 in June. That's still not very high. And it's trading right around $3 at Henry Hub right now, which is kind of the mark that everybody pays attention to. In Europe and Asia, it's quite a different story. We're looking at gas prices in Europe right now from $9 to $12. That has to do with the Russians control most of the gas market. So what we need to do, Al, is find a way to arbitrage gas in Europe versus gas in the United States. The problem is gas is not easily stored or transported.
Well, now that's true. You know, there are a lot of people of the philosophy that the United States could become energy independent in a much shorter time frame if we utilize natural gas to a greater extent. What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for quite some time now. In fact, I wrote a couple of articles and did a couple of interviews in early summer on that idea. But yes, we could. But you know, the problem we have in the United States is we have the NIMBYs and the banana crowds, and they're going to try to stop any infrastructure development, and that has, in my opinion, set the gas business back for some indeterminable amount of time right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would hope that that trend would reverse itself, because energy independence for the United States, for me anyway, is a critical issue. So, you know, because of that, I would hope that that trend would reverse itself. You know, a lot of people continue to badmouth coal. They talk about coal being, you know, it's not clean energy, it's not environmentally sound, it's dangerous to mine, et cetera, et cetera. I completely disagree with that, and we could get into that, but that's not the point of this discussion. What are your thoughts about coal for 2012, Mick?
Well, I actually think those people are right. It's dirty and it's dangerous, and it kills a lot of people every year for one reason or the other, from Chinese miners dying in unsafe mines to people dying or contracting some sort of lung disease from dirty coal. But it's what we've got, and we've made a decision in the United States well over 20 years ago to go with coal, and so we're saddled with that, but it provides us with a significant amount of our energy, especially electricity, but also for space heating purposes. When you're looking at the coal market, you got to look at once again at North America versus Asia, Australia. China dominates in the Eastern Hemisphere. You also have to look at thermal coal, which is used for the aforementioned power generation, space heating applications, and metallurgical coal, which is high-grade coal used in steel making.
Yeah.
I am very bullish on metallurgical coal. We saw all-time export prices from Appalachian coal in the United States. We export a lot of metallurgical coal. I am very bullish on that sector. If you can find a good metallurgical coal company that's undervalued, good luck finding one right now, but that would be a good speculation.
Last but not least, uranium. I also am a big supporter of uranium companies that know what they're doing. I think uranium is the key to the future. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you on that take. The problem, we had a very bullish future for uranium. If you and I would have talked about this last year, and I did talk about it, maybe even with you, I was making the circuit of radio and television and the print media talking about uranium being the next big thing, and it, at that time, the spot price was going way up again, hit $73 a pound in February. It was quite unusual because at that time it was equal to a long-term contract price of uranium, and that implies very tight supplies, and that was basically driven by traders and speculators in the market, but it's analogous to people that know the futures markets, analogous to a backwardation phenomena that we would see in a world-traded commodity, which uranium isn't, but we all, I think, know about backwardation and contango, and essentially uranium was in backwardation, but then we got hit by Fukushima. That has changed the worldwide uranium industry forever, I think, and not all of that is bad, because we're going to have even safer nuclear power plants, but what that did, it drove the spot price down immediately to $49 from something around $65 at the time. But then we saw a recovery, and what we have now is a very strong base for uranium spot prices, somewhere in the $52 range. It's gone down to less than $50 a couple of times, but it bounces right off on that. Good mines can make money, ISR mines, open pit heap leach mines at $52. And a long-term contract price is $63. I remain a uranium bull. In fact, day before yesterday, I gave my standard talk to the Albuquerque Geological Society why I remain a uranium bull.
There you have it from Mickey Fulp. That was a good synopsis on energy. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Axel Merck. We're going to talk currencies, and we're going to talk economic dangers.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar power generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com for more information. That's mysolarbackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
Oh. Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic grades for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the first hour of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. I appreciate you joining me. I've got an old friend on the line with me, Axel Merck. Axel has assumed the status of one of the real currency experts here in North America. Axel and I have talked currencies in the past, and I wanted to get his views on what he feels will happen to currencies in the early part of 2012. Now, as we're speaking, the U.S. dollar is up again. It's up 37 cents on the index. 81.26. I would maintain that the reason that that's the case is because the U.S. dollar is the best of the worst. Let's see what Axel thinks. How are you, sir?
Hi, Al. Good to be with you.
Pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I don't know whether it's the best of the worst. It's certainly in a tie that has many folks that aren't so great looking. The fiscal train wreck that we have is not a European one. It's one that affects the entire industrialized world, developed world, to varying degrees, of course. We just have a better printing press, so we can patch up our problems better than others. And tying into that, remember that as of January, we have a much more dovish Federal Reserve. These hawks that dissented a few months ago in the U.S. are no longer going to be voting. There's only going to be one hawk left at the Fed. Lacker is his name. Everybody else is going to be more dovish. And then we're thinking of all these new ways to be more transparent, to be twisting the yield curve, to, in many ways, find ways of trying to provide additional stimulus. And everybody says, oh, my God, Europe is a mess. Well, Europe is a mess. That's absolutely right. But currencies are always two sides to a coin. And the euro might not be doing great this year. We agree with that. But we'll have a central bank in Europe that has made it very clear they'll keep the banking system afloat. We'll have some days of euphoria. We'll have some days of panic. Mm-hmm. But importantly, the rest of the world is going to panic. The rest of the world doesn't want that contagion. The rest of the world, Europe is the primary financing driver of Asia. The reason why the central banks introduced that swap line is because European banks were lending U.S. dollars to Asian industries. And whenever there is a crisis somewhere, people repatriate the money. It's Americans do it at home, and European banks do it to their home turf. which means the money is sucked out of the global financial system. Now, what do you think central banks are going to do? They're going to panic. The Bank of England is going to panic. The Bank of Japan might. The Federal Reserve might. And, yes, the ECB might as well. But the printing press works best in the U.S. And so if you take that together, what should be happening is that the European problems are not going to go away. They're going to keep their system afloat for better or worse. And at the same time, by throwing all this money at the problem, yet again, the money is going to go where you have the greatest monetary sensitivity. That is, precious metals are going to do well, commodity currencies are going to do well. And in that context, we cannot see how the U.S. dollar is going to do so great. Remember, last year, where it was absolutely horrible for Europe, well, the euro was down about 3% for the year. Well, if that is the best the dollar can do, wait what happens if and when the central banks are going to ease even further.
You know, that's a very, very interesting point. A lot of people are very bullish on the dollar, and they're saying, in light of what's going on in Europe right now, people are saying the U.S. dollar is going to continue to be the currency of last resort. The U.S. dollar is going to continue to strengthen. I don't agree with that, and most of my colleagues also don't agree with that. We see a decrease in value of the U.S. dollar on the index because, you know, when the chickens come home to roost in the United States, and a lot of factors are going to be brought out as to the real status, for lack of better terms, of the U.S. economy over the next 10 or 11 months as this election process unfolds, I think you're going to see a decrease in the value of the U.S. dollar. My personal opinion. Sounds like you would agree with that.
Well, think of it as a skewed pendulum. Of course, for the time being, the flight to safety is the U.S. dollar. But every time this pendulum swings between risk on, risk off, between money moving into risky assets and then fleeing back into U.S. treasuries, every time it appears to be swinging there, less so. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The primary one is that, as I indicated, we're better at spending and printing money. The U.S. balance sheet is deteriorating at a faster pace than the balance sheet of the rest of the world. And the second reason is that when there's this flight to safety, well, wherever there's this crisis happening, they're patching up the problem. That doesn't mean Europe is safe now, but it may be safer than it was at the previous iteration that this pendulum swung back and forth. And so as this pendulum swings back and forth, each time it comes back to the U.S. dollar, there will be phases when there's a panic and the U.S. dollar is going to be in favor. The U.S. dollar is strengthening less so. And so over time, what we have this wobbly movement, but if you look over the past couple of years, the past 10 years, the past 30 years, the past 100 years, the U.S. dollar has been on a weakening trend. Now, of course, added to that, you have these amazing challenges on the fiscal side, which means at some point, we're going to have far more serious issues, and the U.S. dollar might not be the safe haven anymore. For the time being, the market doesn't read it that way, but of course that concern is there. There, the one thing I'd like to mention here is that in Europe we have a bond market that imposes reform on policymakers. We've argued that the bond market is the only language policymakers understand. Now, in Europe, you do not have that current account deficit that we have in the U.S. Imagine in the U.S. the bond market telling policymakers to engage in real reform. I've no doubt that we can do it at that point. We're not going to do it any earlier. But because we have that current account deficit, if and when we do have a misbehaving bond market in the U.S., the U.S. dollar is going to be under far more severe pressure than the euro has been in the crisis so far there.
You know, Axel, I have a lot of colleagues who are predicting a major, major crisis in the bond market sooner rather than later. What are your thoughts on that?
You do not have to have a doomsday scenario to be very concerned about the bond market. If you look at the historic volatility in the bond market, in the long bond, it is far below the historic average. Now, to us, that is the best bubble indicator there is. In the tech stocks in the 90s, everybody bought tech stocks. There was no volatility there. In the housing boom, everybody bought into housing. Now, similarly, everybody's chasing yield, is chasing the long end of the yield curve. They want to get returns, and so you have a lot of money in the long end of the yield curve that shouldn't be there. You do not have to foresee a major crisis for that volatility to spike and to have a very, very bloody ending. Now, of course, the scenarios you mentioned of having a far more dramatic outcome are possible. But the problem I have with that is then you're kind of relegated to saying, oh, my God, you think the end of the world is coming. No, you do not have to think the end of the world is coming and still believe that you do not want to be in the long end of the yield curve. You don't want to own the long one. Now, these other scenarios, everybody assigns to them a different probability. You and I might assign a higher probability to them than some folks on Main Street, but the short of it is that there is no convincing argument to me why you should be holding the long bond.
You know, you brought up an interesting point here regarding the doomsday scenario that a lot of people, you know, dramatic thoughts, et cetera, and the world's going to come to an end, and look out, our economy is going to come crashing down, and the European economy is going to come crashing down. I would agree 100% that the European economy and certainly the economy of the United States is in very serious trouble. From a fundamental standpoint, you look at the balance sheet of the United States and it is absolutely abysmal. You look at the income statement of the United States and it's absolutely abysmal. But I would have to maintain some way, somehow, this too shall pass. What do you think?
It's only money.
That's the point.
The reason I mentioned that is if you think about the Great Depression, major bankruptcies, major problems, but the buildings that were built during the boom time were still there. Now, they may have changed ownership and whatnot. And so, yes, we may be facing a financial crisis. The important thing is, though, that we focus on the core values, that we want to make sure our democracy and our civil liberties and those sort of things stay afloat. And obviously, there are threats to some of these as well, and we, at any age you choose, people are complaining about them. That is something worth fighting for. But as far as these other issues are concerned, it may well be that Bernanke is going to print a great deal of money and is going to debase the dollar, and maybe some people are going to feel better in an inflation environment. For us as investors, of course, we can choose where we put our money, and we put it in places where we think it's going to be safer. I think the key point here is that there is no such thing as a safe asset. One of our slogans has been, investors may want to take a diversified approach to something as mundane as cash. Gold is one of the answers, but very few people put all their money into gold. Now, will we have a quote-unquote collapse of the system? Who knows? Who knows? The different people assign different probabilities to it. If you do think that is going to happen, well, the one who loses the least is probably the winner at the end of the day.
Right.
Those are not very pretty scenarios. I personally own a great deal of gold, some of it physical, some of it in other forms, and so that is an insurance policy for me. But ultimately, one of the great things about the U.S. economy is that it is so flexible.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has allowed that wealth cap to increase. And in our view, this is not because of Republican or Democratic policies. It's because of monetary policy. When you push a society towards a credit-driven society, you're bifurcating the society, because the folks who know how to deal with credit, you or I are not going to have a problem in dealing in this world, because we can spread our eggs around. But the ones who are losing out are the savers.
Unfortunately, we have to end on that note. That is a very, very interesting point. Axel, thank you so much. Listen, Axel is going to be back with us in the future. He's a very bright guy. He's a very intuitive guy. He can add to our wealth of knowledge.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is